This is the IBJ podcast for the week of August 31st, 2020, brought to you by the law firm Krieg DeVault. I'm Mason King. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Those of us who have been working from home for the last 5 months are probably intimately and painfully aware of all of the things that are wrong with our houses. Probably beginning with not enough room for a proper workspace for everybody in the house. Over at my place, we concentrated on hardscape and landscape outside. And by April, we had repaired all the patio furniture. We'd restained the deck twice. We planted trees. And well, this is something we normally do. We ordered twice as much mulch as we really needed, and it's still in the driveway. In the meantime, up and down the street, folks have been working on their own projects, and I've been kind of curious, without being too nosy, about what they're doing and about how widely the remodeling bug has spread. It's a bit hard to quantify at the moment because we're still in the middle of it, but the online home remodeling platform, known as Houzz, that's with two Z's, reported a 58% annual increase in project leads for home professionals in June. And according to a recent survey from Porch.com, more than three quarters of all U.S. homeowners said they had done some type of home improvement project during the pandemic. More than three quarters also said they plan to take on a new project in the next 12 months. The top reason was finally having time. And the next was to make the home feel more cozy. To get a better handle on how this trend has manifested here in the Indianapolis area, I invited three guests on the podcast this week: a local architect, a local interior designer, and a design build construction firm. All three have strong practices in home remodeling and had a lot of interesting things to say about how customers want to change their homes, how much they're willing to pay, and how they do it during a health crisis. Here's our interview. I am pleased to welcome to the IBJ Podcast virtual studio, Heidi Woodman, the owner of House Love Interiors Design Firm. It's located really right at that border between Meridian Kessler and Broad Ripple. Heidi, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us is Matt Troyer, owner of Emergent Construction, a design build firm located just north of downtown. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And our third guest is architect Patrick Kestner. He has worked as an architect and project manager in the Indianapolis area for 16 years and recently started his own studio, Still Architecture and Design. Patrick, welcome.
Thank you.
And even though I identified where a couple of you are headquartered, Patrick and Heidi, I know that you do work in central Indiana, but also in other states. And Matt, you are mostly in the Indianapolis metro area. Is that right?
That's correct.
Let's get down to business and talk about business. Just a basic question. Have you recently seen what people are talking about nationally as an increase in home remodeling business? And if so, about when was the month that it really became evident?
Well, I think, I'll chirp in here first. I think recently, over the past probably, few years, business has been very good in the residential realm. I think through the pandemic, I guess for at least from my side of the world, things haven't really slowed down. They've stayed very steady. And project types have morphed a little bit, I guess, or what clients are looking for. But, I think in March, it all kind of, everybody got a little kind of scared. Maybe we all kind of retreated in. But I think April again, things really started looking really good, and at least on the design side of things.
What about you, Matt? What did you see? Or have you noticed really a discernible difference over the pandemic?
Yeah, I would probably echo a lot of that I think March and April was a little bit of just fearful unknown that people didn't know what to do. So there was kind of a pause, and, obviously we're mid-project because things have been pretty strong over the last few years. So, whether it was finishing up current projects and that kind of thing, but there was probably a little bit of a hiccup of incoming leads or just like a lot of let's wait this out and see how things go before we continue on. So, but really since April, about that same time, it's been pretty wild, and we've been taking so many calls. It's pretty fascinating how many more leads have been coming in daily, even this week than previously. So it's definitely grown.
And what about you, Heidi?
Same. Yeah. Initially in the beginning, a couple clients were nervous, especially our larger clients that had just signed a contract. They reached out and said, you know, we still want to move forward, but can we just kind of keep a close eye on the news and just see how things are going? But within the month, they picked back up. And for me, I've seen a huge increase in at the beginning of the summer in design. I think my clients were feeling more comfortable. My existing clients are now adding more projects, and we are getting more out of town inquiries as a design firm. And I think for me, it's a lot of people on Instagram and, you know, just looking around virtually. So it's been great. I'm so thankful.
So Matt, the kinds of projects, you know, that you've been seeing over the last 5 months, especially, just real quick, we'll talk about these individually later, but what are the kinds of projects that we're most likely to see?
I think it's really rethinking how people live their life. And I think, I mean, a lot of what we do is we want to be a good fit for the design of whether the kitchen space is more open for kids growing up and sitting at the island kind of stuff, or a home office, or, you know, addition for more space. I mean, this has forced everyone to really think, how do I live my life? Which is really fun, because, you know, you need more spaces, you need different spaces, or you need to just, you know, more efficient spaces. So it's really helped us to have kind of get some of that creativity out of clients to know what they want and how they live their life. But there is a lot of changes in how that people see their current spaces from, you know, even maybe a year ago on a project we did, to what people are talking about now that's a priority.
Well, that's interesting, because I had this idea in my head that these are really kind of different projects in some fundamental way, and that people are really reconsidering how they live. Can you kind of illustrate the difference a little bit?
Well, I think obviously having people working at home too with kids. So, you know, if kids are home, parents are home, school's going on, a lot more computers around, a lot more desk space needed. Or like me, I've taken over my home office. It's pseudo quiet, not quite enough. I told my wife to have the kids get out in the basement for a little bit. I think it's really just rethinking how you live, and then people being around each other more. So they want, you know, a little bit more private spaces, or, you know, just dedicated workspaces, whether it is a combined office or smaller spaces to be able to pop up and work. So you're not, you know, you can keep the noise down and spread out around the house a little bit.
Yeah, because I really did want to ask about like home offices. Our podcast 2 weeks ago actually was about how people are coming to the realization that they're going to be working from home for a while, and that they need to have some kind of dedicated space, or a more dedicated space, or that their kids need a remote learning space. Patrick, have you seen that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, over the past, you know, Lord knows how many years, there's been this trend of open living, right? Kind of like dining, kitchen, living, all kind of open space. And there's some real benefits to that. There's the connectivity just spatially that you get from that. And then you get really great connectivity to the outside, potentially, where you share views, you share light. The downfall of that is there is no privacy, right? You still need to be able to get somewhere and be able to get behind a door, just for functional privacy, basically. So, you know, I'm dealing with it here. I think a lot of clients probably are seeing that, they're experiencing that same kind of battle. But again, you have to weigh the pluses and minuses to that, because kind of the open concept does provide a lot of positives, but certainly you got to have places to kind of get away. And then it's all about the quality of those spaces, and it's about being able to feel comfortable in those spaces as well. So I've had clients who are looking for, hey, I need to add that space. I don't have that space in my house. I don't have that ability for that type of space. So, you know, how do I add an office? How is that done economically? So it's certainly a conversation. And I think it's, as Matt said, as people start to reevaluate how they live just their daily lives, that certainly is going to have future impacts on design just in general, and future trends without a doubt. Are we going to go back to something that's a little more 70s, where houses are a little more divided up? Or will it stay open living, and then do we just create these functional spaces that allow for those kind of breakout spaces? So I think it's going to be on a case-by-case basis, and really just on people's preferences, because everybody's different.
Heidi, is there a way with interior design where you can kind of reshape maybe an open area somehow and make it more private?
I really feel like with my clients, they are not a big fan of having that open space for an office environment, because they really want to have their space to focus and work and sort of be away from their children. So I have not incorporated office spaces into an open area. They've all been pretty separated. They've all explained to me specifically they want it to be like their, kind of like their check, they're coming to work. This is their space. And for me, when I'm at home and my kids are with me, I'm in my office right now at home and it's very open. They're asking me questions all day. They're, Mom, what's for lunch? Mom, can I have a smoothie? We are, like, for new builds, they're incorporating smaller offices into their kitchens, just like a little, like sort of an extra office space or additional, like not just one office, but two, one for the husband and one for the wife.
Okay, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. This is the IBJ Podcast.
The IBJ Podcast is brought to you by Creek DeVault, a trusted and dynamic law firm representing a wide variety of local, regional, and national clients. Committed to each other and to every client, Creek DeVault prides itself on integrity, professionalism, respect, and excellence. Financial institutions, global manufacturers, national healthcare providers, and successful organizations of all sizes and market focus rely on Creek DeVault to create innovative and successful business solutions. Connect today at www.creekdevault.com.
One of the things I've heard about is repurposing space for workout areas. Matt, have you heard anything about that?
Yeah. And one area that one project that we're currently working on, we actually just broke ground this week that would be kind of a cool highlight that fits into all this, is we're actually building a tiny home. It's a studio. We just broke ground on it and it's basically like a 15 by 15. The couple is going to use it for a detached office because they have two kids at home. So, and it's real modern, really, really contemporary right off the deck of the patio. So, but it's a really cool design. And the beauty of that kind of space is it can be flexible for other purposes. So, I mean, definitely people staying home and not being comfortable going to gyms. I think it's also been a priority to make sure there's at least a corner that you could use for some kind of workout. If it's minimal, you know, some cardio stuff or some light stuff, it's not a big, you know, heavy weights and those kind of things. But I think a lot of what we've been trying to do is we've had to learn to be flexible, right? Over the last 6 months, like flexibility is huge. And as life changes with, small kids at home, babies to twos to fives and then five to 10, and like life changes and like the needs for your rooms change. So I think a lot of it is like flexibility of spaces. So like, this is what we need right now, but think about 5-year picture from now, 10-year picture from now, and how else could I use that same space? So you're not having to like rearrange or change walls dramatically to repurpose the space. So it's really a kind of an art and flexibility, I think, too, for how we can get a lot of uses out of the same spaces.
What do homeowners now want out of their kitchens?
If they are remodeling, we're obviously making them more practical, more storage, bigger. And again, the request for like a small little office space in the kitchen, cleaner, that sort of holistic vibe has been coming up a lot as a request with my clients throughout the entire home. So just wanting a more like peaceful, calm, less clutter everywhere. But kitchens, yeah, for me, they want bigger. And I think it's just, it's the heart of the home.
And I think also, I have two different projects right now that have both asked for this, an idea more of a glorified pantry. The butler's pantry isn't really the terminology anymore, but I think the idea of additional storage, you know, it's the Costco effect, right? The not the hoarding mentality, but that idea that you do have a place to put things, a trend that may continue is that additional space off the kitchen. If it is a larger type pantry or if it is an office type potential space that could also be used as kind of a prep pantry. I think that is something that I've seen again on a few projects and could certainly be on the rise. And it, as Matt mentioned earlier, that's the type of space that could always morph, that if they're not using it the way they thought they would, you know, it does become an office or it does become additional storage or, you know, maybe that's where kids do homework or something.
Matt, what have you seen at kitchens?
Yeah, I think a lot of those things. I think a lot of it is they're probably using their kitchens more so than ever, right? Over the last 3 or 4 months, if they have cooked before or they're figuring out how to cook because they're forced to, right? So, or they're supporting their local restaurant business friends and ordering out a lot of food, which I also highly support because I feel really bad for those businesses specifically that we are fortunate to be in a world that's thriving and they still aren't. So, but like Heidi said, the kitchen's the heart of the home. I don't think that will ever change. That's probably 90% of our projects start with a kitchen discussion. And I think it's, durability might be another thing to talk about too, because they're probably using it more than they were. So it's the durability of the cabinets or the products on the countertops and those kind of things. But probably just a little bit more space because one or two people are now in the kitchen more regularly, and thinking through flow of that is probably even a more important discussion than just aesthetics of how pretty the kitchen looks, you know?
Heidi, you mentioned something about sort of an uncluttered or clean look, just as an overall kind of aesthetic. Did I read that right?
That's been trending for a minute, and it's kind of my look. Although, so I would say that's very common request, and it's a big part of my brand. I don't like to over design or over decorate. And also color is trending. And I think that color makes people happy. It's trending in design for sure, because that sort of white and black sort of farmhouse look has been huge forever with like pops of, you know, raw wood. So I'm happy to see color. It's always a challenge when you're working with color, but I think it makes people happy. So I think a little bit of both for me, the clean, holistic, you know, bright white, organic look, and also color. We're putting color in rooms that you're not in as much, but we're adding it to offices, dining rooms, bathrooms, and I really enjoy that.
You know, we always talk about, you know, the colors that are either in season or just hot at a particular moment. Is there a set of colors right now that are more popular than others?
Yeah, salmon, ochre.
Salmon is back?
Yes.
You're kidding.
Salmon is back with a vengeance. Yes. I mean, everywhere in boucles and in mohairs. Green, deep, rich greens are really trending. So yeah, I think those are the top three colors that we see a lot with accents.
I know I've been alive for too long now that I've seen salmon.
I know.
What do you think about painted oak? What do you think about painted oak coming back?
That's an interesting question. Are you guys seeing like a different preference for materials now?
I see a draw more into the wood grains. And I think, you know, to echo what Heidi said, like white is still probably, 75% of the kitchens. I mean, it's still a huge number, maybe a little bit less than that. But we're definitely seeing a trend back a little bit more into the wood grains being just to warm up a space a little bit, I think. So we joke, but literally like painted black oak is like really popular. And it's, a lot of the medium brown oak of the 80s and 90s is not where we're at, but it's that oak, that grain is still a beautiful grain in the right application.
Well, I guess I'll add on that too. I think there's real value to the idea of kind of blurring that line between nature, outdoor, and interior. And I think how you kind of do that, and I think how you pull things from outdoor into the interior space, there's a desire for sanctuary, if that's the right word right now. Again, you know, uncertain times, people want, you know, well-being. And I think color can do that. I think smart space can do that. And I think if you can bring elements from nature, even though we can't quite touch nature and all those things that we would normally do right now to the extent that we normally would, I think you, through design, we can start to incorporate some of those elements, which I ultimately think just leads to the quality of space and your well-being as a user.
Yeah, and speaking of outdoors, I mean, some of the things that are most obvious to me, because like I say, I don't go into other people's houses, is all the outdoor work that I'm seeing. And most of it in my neighborhood is DIY. But I get the impression that, that people are really looking to change the hardscape to, as you say, make it, you know, more of a livable space.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a great example is just try to go to one of your big box stores right now and try to find exterior materials, you know, fencing, decking. It's very, very difficult right now. I think as we start to, you know, live more in our spaces, both interior and exterior, we do start to see some of those shortcomings maybe, or just areas that are easy to improve. And if it's hardscaping, if it's, just updating decks, if trying to pull materials in and out, I think it's something that is relatively attainable. If you're a homeowner, you can see that. That's not that big of a project when you kind of look at it as opposed to ripping a roof off a house or something. So I think that desire is there to improve your living if it's indoor or outdoor. And I think updated hardscape is a really great way to do it. And you know, Matt can probably talk a little more about it, but it certainly adds some really apparent value to the house right away.
Yeah. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, that's a booming area. But I think we touched on it earlier that before we started recording that, I mean, I love the outdoors too. I'm a runner and Heidi is a hiker. Like, you know, we want to be outdoors. And I think there's life, you know, there's something about life that we're meant to be outdoors. So connecting those spaces from how you live your life day to day, maybe it's a covered roof to have an outdoor living space or, you know, a full fireplace. I think that I think a big part for us that how we survived kind of that hardest part of the, you know, the COVID early on was that we could be outside, and it's just how we're meant to live. So those kind of projects are just, it's ridiculous. I mean, if you think about trying to get a pool company out right now, you're probably talking next year.
Patrick, you had a story. We actually spoke on the phone yesterday about you're doing a little bit of work outside. Is that right? And you've had, as you said, an incredible problem finding the material.
Yeah. We had some work done on our pool actually, which then caused some other work that had to be done, which led to other work that had to be done. So it kind of, you know, like a typical home renovation, maybe that you're kind of trying to do it yourself, it just spirals. But the subcontractor that was actually just building a new a small wood deck on the back of my house had to go to, I think, three different stores, basically Kokomo, Avon, and then closer in Indianapolis, just to accumulate enough of the same material to build a project. And again, it's not that large of a project, but it's just not in stock. It's amazing right now, the demand.
I had heard from our reps that it's a bigger thing than that even, because it's Canada and US, that these buying groups, that they basically predicted wrong that things were going to tank, and they were hedging their bets that this was going to shut the economy down for especially home stores and construction in general. So a lot of the lumber mills just shut down and they missed the mark, and especially home stores, it shot through the roof. So there's just a major shortage right now of them trying to get back online and get product back out again.
Yeah. It's amazing to me that people are spending money at all right now. And these sound like pretty intensive projects. Can you kind of give me a range of what people are spending on this kind of stuff?
I guess that's all over the board, right?
It is all over the board. I mean, it's what...
My little mind says tens of thousands of dollars on a project, but that's what it sounds like to me. I mean, are people going six figures on some of these?
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of outdoor spaces in the six figures range, yeah.
But there's also, you know, the lower, it's, you know, whatever your budget is, you know. I love the six-figure budgets, but they are all across the board. I think it just depends on where you're at, location, and they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, from a simple screen porch to a big, it just depends. Like you said, from a simple screen porch to a massive pool hardscape included in that. I mean, that's where you can go from, yeah, you know, maybe the 20s to the 200s. You know.
Since we are in the middle of a pandemic, how do you navigate working on people's houses or even just walking through them when I would assume that most of us are at least kind of anxious about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just have to be...
Ask up,
yeah.
You have to be courteous and careful, right? I mean, you have to take all the precautions that you do anywhere else. I've had more meetings with new clients outside of their houses, but to get a good idea of the scope of the work, you have to engage. You have to go in and take a look and just be smart about it, right? I have done one through FaceTime, the FaceTime where they actually walked around the house and kind of showed me what they thought they wanted to do, which is absolutely great. You get a really good sense for that. But in the construction and the design world, you still have to have that hands-on. You still have to go in. You still take a look at it.
Yeah.
It's different probably than from the construction side because, you know, they're going to actually start tearing things apart. But to get a sense of what a client is looking for and what the design opportunities are, you have to put your eyes on it to really get a good sense of it.
We've had to spread out schedules a little bit and have less people on site and be a little more cautious there. And, you know, and then if somebody either comes in contact with somebody or has a potential, you know, positive test, like, so there's a lot of different precautions that kind of slow things down. But I think it's just leading with the same thing with our customers, is telling them, hey, we're trying to navigate this too. You got to have some flexibility with us, and we'll do the best we can, but it's, you know, we're in unforeseen territory, right?
Let me just thank you guys right now. This has been wonderful. This has worked out great. So thank you.
Okay. Awesome. Great.
My thanks again to Heidi Woodman, Matt Troyer, and Patrick Kessner. In the latest edition of IBJ, we have a related story about the hot housing market in central Indiana, why both sales and home prices are climbing in the middle of a recession, and what buyers are looking for in a new home, and you'll hear some familiar themes. And before you get on with the rest of your week, there are a few other stories from the print edition this week I want to bring to your attention. Anthony Shutley reports on the radio industry's attempts at recovery after the pandemic gutted ratings and ad revenue in April and May. The numbers are getting better now that some folks are back to their regular commutes, but the pandemic's timing couldn't have been worse. Also in this week's issue, Mickey Shuey examines the competing views of the wisdom behind expanding the Indiana Convention Center. And Kirk Christian explains how Noblesville officials are approaching planning for an 11-acre community gateway project south of their downtown. And again, you can read these stories in the latest print edition of IBJ or online at IBJ.com. I will say, it is a lot easier to access all of IBJ's award-winning business content if you have a subscription. It works out to about $2 per week, which is pretty good for the amount of information that can help you make important decisions here in these next few months. Just go to IBJ.com and click on the subscribe button. And thank you again for making time this week for the IBJ podcast, which is edited by Leslie Weidenbender. I'm Mason King. Hang in there, everybody. We'll be back again next week.